Does growling always mean the dog is angry or mad? That was a question I received, and it reminded me of Hooch, a Rottweiler, who I met a few years ago. And he was a perfect example of different growls, and that's why I wanted to bring him to you today in this episode of A Dog Soul, an Empath's Guide to Your Dog's Feelings. So stay tuned and have fun. All right, so Hooch was a 2-year-old Rottweiler. And if you know Rottweilers, they are goofballs. Really, really cute goofballs. And they take a little longer to grow up. So with 2 years old, they are really large, but they are not much more than a puppy, right? So yes, they are in teen years and they show their teenage brains, but they are not as mature as, let's say, a West Highland Terrier with the same age, right? So Hooch was a huge baby and he showed that. He would try to sit on his parents' lap, and Dad loved that. So they made a ritual out of it, and when Dad came home, he sat on the floor, and Hooch came up to him, and they played a little bit, and then Hooch would just sit on his lap and get his back scratched, and it was really adorable. So that was a situation when Hooch showed one of his growls as well. And this is something really typical for Rottweilers and for other breeds, of course, but Rottweilers do that really often. They have a play growl. Now, that can sound to somebody who's not living with the dog like a real threat. It sounds like a growl, but the difference is if you see the dog is completely soft. The body language is really soft, the muscles are not tense, the face is relaxed and looks very friendly and goofy and playful, and the dog is showing every aspect of play. And then there is the growl. So what's important is to never just look at one aspect of a dog. If you zero in on that, you can miss the whole picture, or you probably will, and your interpretation is very likely off. So in my country, Rottweilers are on a list of dangerous breeds. They have a really bad reputation. There have been incidents in the past, horrible ones, and people are more timid around Rottweilers if they are not as experienced with dogs and those breeds in general. So when Hooch's parents had people over, Hooch would get really excited and he liked people and he ran around and he took a toy because he was excited, right? And chewing on something helped the excitement. And he would run up to the people and do his play growl with his toy in his mouth because, right? If we run around and we have a toy, we might as well play. So that's what Hooch seemed to be saying, right? And if the person would give in and play with Hooch, he would show the play growl and he would show the whole play display. He would be soft and he would have a cute little play face and all those things. But of course there were people who were skeptical about Hooch because they could not place that growl. They did not understand why he was doing that, and they were skeptical. They didn't trust his playful body language and his actions because he growled. And yes, his parents always tried to explain to those people that he didn't mean anything by that growl except for his playfulness. And well, with some people it worked better, with some people not as much. And when they had to have those people over, They would give Hooch something to chew on, and he would be in another room, and that was fine. Now, what happened over time was that the more Hooch grew up, the more he became tense around food, especially if he had something very yummy to chew on. So, bone or like something very hard that would last longer. It was fine with his parents at first, but whenever they had guests over and Hooch had something that he could not finish immediately, he would take longer to chew on that thing. He would be tense around the guests. He would not come up to them, and if they get too close, he would growl. But this was a totally different growl. He was tense, his body language was tense, he stopped chewing, he looked at them with very hard eyes. There was no playfulness in his face, and sometimes he would get up and walk away and take his chew thing somewhere else. Now, what their trainer told them was to work with him on being able to take everything away from him, and if necessary, by force. Now, if you have a very large dog, and Rottweilers are strong, right? They are not a lightweight in any kind of way. They are muscular, they are large, they are strong. And if you ever get the advice to go physically against such a dog, never do it. It's dangerous with smaller dogs as well. But if you have a dog who is definitely stronger than you, that is a pretty bad idea. You can only lose in that equation. That's not how you want to live with your dog. You don't want to live in a constant struggle, in a constant fight, constantly aware of what your dog has and things like that. And this creates some issues between humans and dog that wasn't there in the beginning, right? Because for Hooch, this was something he really liked, the whole chewy thing. He loved to chew and stuff. It was important to him. And he was not trusting strangers not to take it away from him. So he told them, "Hey, this is mine, and don't come closer." Which is fine, right? If we are in a restaurant and somebody comes up to us and tries to grab our plate, we would probably tell that person to go away, right? Or a more day-to-day example would be we build fences because we don't want people to just roam around our property and just walk into our houses, right? That's why we use keys and stuff, because we want our privacy. And for dogs, this is something natural as well. So, all right. But since the guests were worried about it, and they did have guests over pretty regularly, they got a trainer, and the trainer told them that they had to do this exercise. Now, the exercise looked like this. He had something to chew. They were to walk up to him and take that from him out of the blue. So, no warning him, no trading him, nothing. They were just to walk up to him, take it from him. Same with the food bowl. They were to just remove the food bowl while he was eating. Again and again, they were to grab into the food bowl and scare him away from the food bowl with body language and things like that. So every time Hooch was eating something, it was supposed to become uncertain and uncomfortable for him. Now, there were one incident, and it only took one. They did that for, I don't know how long, but I think it was no longer than 2 days, and they were not very consistent with the exercises, so they felt like he should at least have one meal in peace, and they didn't want to bother him all the time, and things like that. So their gut feeling told them that this was not a good idea, but Trina had said, so they did it, at least with one meal a day and with two things. And there was one incident where Hooch suddenly snapped at them. This had built up in three occasions. So three meals and two situations. It might have been four, it might have been two. I don't remember that well, but it was not that much. So Hooch had gone from completely relaxed around his parents to actually snapping at them very quickly. And that was the point where they stopped doing that, because he did not have an issue with them before, and suddenly he was getting an issue with them as well. So the training was obviously going in the wrong direction. And as soon as they stopped, Hooch became more and more relaxed again. That took a lot longer, so it wasn't done in 2 to 4 chewing sessions. It was weeks. So you see how quickly that goes, right? If you lose trust, that can happen quickly. And to rebuild that trust, it takes way longer. That's why I'm so big on preserving trust and nurturing trust and nurturing the relationship and stuff like that. So, all right, they tried to find something on the internet about how they could help their dog, right? I was not a trainer at the time, so I just knew them from work as a fitness trainer, but I was not a dog trainer yet. So they looked up what they could do on the internet. And at first they found always the same protocol, right? The same thing the trainer had told them, and they were getting a little unsure because their gut told them that this was not the way to go, and of course the incident as well. But if you see the same thing again and again and again, and you only have your gut telling you otherwise, it makes you think, right? So they gave the search another go, and what they did find then was a completely different approach. They found a trainer who had a blog article about trading for resource guarding dogs, and to work on resource guarding with the dog actually wanting to participate and with the dog feeling really well in the situation. So they did what the blog article said, and they started to add something awesome whenever Hooch had something to chew or eat. Not every time they let him have meals in peace, right? Because that's important as well. But whenever they needed to walk by him or come anywhere near him, they had something they could add to whatever Hooch already had. So little cheese balls, for example, to a chewy, or with his regular meal, they sometimes brought him an egg to add to that. So things that Hooch really like and that they could just give to him. Now, what he learned was, whenever mom and dad come closer, I can expect something awesome. So he was trusting them faster and faster and faster again. And he would even look up from his bowl whenever they approached him without them having to do anything. So he was happy to give up his bowl if that were necessary, but it wasn't, right? And for the chew thing, they actually worked on trading. So give me that and you will get something better. And he was absolutely happy to do that. The funny thing was that when they had guests over, at first they didn't give him something to chew that would last too long because they wouldn't want to risk anything with their guests, right? But there was one day when they forgot and they gave him something to chew on, and he would lie down somewhere and a guest walked past him to the toilet and nobody thought anything of it, right? And when the guest came back, he told them, hey, I just walked past Hooch and he has something, but he didn't growl at me. And that was a guest who had experienced the growling before. So what happened was, Hooch was actually more relaxed with guests around his chew things without having trained anything in the situation. The training before was enough. Now, since they were reminded that they started to include the guests in the training, so whenever a guest walked past Hooch, they would get up and bring Hooch something awesome. So that helped as well, and the issue was resolved very easily. But had they not seen the difference in Hooch's overall behavior, like how his body language talked to them, how he looked at them, they might have missed it. And that's why it's so important not to take one aspect of the dog's communication and try to interpret it. We always need the whole picture. And if you have a dog who is playfully growling, that doesn't mean that there will ever be an issue. It just means that your dog is vocal while playing, right? But if you see things changing, if you see your dog becoming tense and everything Hooch displayed, recheck the situation. And with that, I wish you a lot of fun playing, and we'll see each other next time. Bye.